Welcome, welcome. We are back for another episode of The Lock-In. I'm joined, as usual, by Simplify Poker's Dara O'Carney. Dara, how's it going with the new site?
It's going very well. The uptake has been very good, and the reaction to the courses we put out has been very positive. So very happy with that. Barry's very excited about this. It's really his big shiny thing now that he's working on all the time. He has no interest in doing books anymore. I'm going to have to try and nail him down at some point. Otherwise, we won't put out another book. But yeah, it's all good. The reaction's been really positive, which is the most important thing, obviously.
Great stuff. Well, look, we have a segment all about it on the next episode of The Chip Race, so do tune into that one. I'm looking forward to talking more about it then. Joining us this week on the show is a poker player, multi-award-winning vlogger with over 750,000 YouTube subscribers. We're very jealous of that number. And a WPT ambassadorship, amongst other things. He's currently on a bit of a cash game winning streak. I think he's booked wins in his last 14 or 15 sessions. He is Brad Owen. Brad, welcome to the lock-in.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, poker's been going well, and I'm excited for the next several weeks here of the WPT World Championship.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great stuff. Look, we obviously have quite a bit of WPT news and other stories too to cover, but I want to quickly ask first, actually, about that winning streak of yours. You mentioned on Twitter how this might be a personal record, or maybe it was when you hit 13 or 14. How has your year gone overall, though?
The year has been a strange one. It hasn't gone particularly well. I think I was up about $100,000 at the end of May, which was great. But the summer was rough for me. I just decided I was going to fire kind of as much as possible over summer and played a bunch of 10Ks, played a 25K, some 5Ks, and a 3K or several 3Ks. And bricked pretty much all the biggest buy-ins, didn't run particularly deep in any of the live tournaments. I did final table an online bracelet event. I got sixth, and then I got 10th in the 5K online. So, when you're playing these high variance tournaments, it's easy to go on a pretty big downswing, and I pretty much wiped out everything that I'd won up to that point. And then I had two high stakes cash game sessions that didn't go well at the tail end of that. So I think I was stuck 20K in August, or I might have even been stuck 40K. But since then, I'm back to the even mark, which is good. Obviously, it's not exactly where I want to be at this point in the year, but there's still some time left to maybe turn things around.
Well, look, I really appreciate the honesty about it. I think a lot of players, sort of fudge their numbers, but you obviously value that sort of transparency, and I think your audience do too. And it's probably a big part of what got you to where you are in the vlogging game as well. Part of that tweet, you were giving out some WPT golden passports to the obviously upcoming free roll at the Wynn, not wanting to put any undue pressure here, but neither Dara nor I have won a passport yet. And it seems to be the culture online these days that everyone just gives out to the ambassadors if they haven't won one yet. So can you hook us up?
I wish that I could. Unfortunately, that's not quite how it works. And I actually asked if I was able to give passports out to friends, and they gave me a hard no. So it's got to be through kind of a WPT sanctioned contest.
Well, I just heard that we're friends, so I'll take that as a good booby prize anyway. I'm happy with that. Half joking aside, this is a much hyped event, maybe the most hyped tournament of the year, maybe for the most hyped tournament for quite a while, actually. It's sort of taken over social media in the last few months. The Club WPT Gold crowd have added even more prizes in recent weeks. One prize in particular, one very shiny prize, stands out. It catches the eye. Can you tell us about that?
Well, let's see. Are we talking about the McLaren?
We are.
Yeah, so there's a booth that's open at the Wynn, and my understanding is that if you show up at the booth, the Club WPT Gold booth, between December 8th and 12th, I believe, and they verify that you're a Club WPT Gold member, that you've signed up to the site, that you're eligible to potentially win a 2025 McLaren GTS. So yeah, it's something that's pretty amazing to just throw that into the prize pool that's already, a $5 million free roll. Actually, that's actually separate from the $5 million free roll. So
Oh,
anybody
wow.
who signed up to Club WPT Gold can actually win that McLaren.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Finally, on this WPT free roll, Dara, you and Barry have created a specific tutorial I know on how to best approach the tournament strategically. It's available on Simplify Poker, that site we mentioned a little while ago. Why is this a must for any qualifiers?
It's a must because it's such an unusual format for the free roll that they've gone with. And kudos to whoever was behind this in WPT. They've really put a lot of thought into this and they've created a really interesting format, which I think also makes the tournament much more appealing and interesting. Just to run quickly through what the major differences are. First of all, an unusually high proportion of the field is going to be paid. Over a quarter of the field would be paid. And I think that's a really great idea because it means that like over 500 people will leave with a very positive experience of having won money in what is a free roll. And so that's the first thing. Now, from a strategic point of view, that means that at least in the early stages of the tournament, it should probably play more like a satellite than a regular tournament because just getting into the money means a lot, obviously. And it's a nice, decent cash. And I also think because it's a free roll, people will see cashing the tournament as more of a positive than say they had to pay the 2.5 grand themselves to get in, because effectively this is a 2.5K in equity for everybody who's there, and the min cash is not much more than that. So if everybody was paying the 2.5K, people might not be focused on cashing so much. But I think the fact that it's a free roll, they'll think, oh yeah, if I can win 3 or 4 grand for nothing, that's a very good thing. So early stages I think will play more like a satellite. Then once they get into the money at another point, 270, 280, going from memory left, it turns into a mystery bounty. And that's a very nice feature too. It means that people can sort of win prizes as they go. The final table is still a long way off, but if they knock somebody out, they win. Also worth noting that part of the min cash is, essentially, is that one person in every five who caches but doesn't make the final table will win a seat to the 10K free. So that's very nice too. Like 100 people are going to come from that tournament automatically into the 10K. Then the mystery bounty, they've really put a lot of thought into this because the mystery bounties initially are not too big. They're worth in the region of a buy-in. So they're kind of like a nice bonus, but they won't change the strategy too much. Normally in a mystery bounty, by the time you hit the mystery bounty, the mystery bounty is worth several buy-ins, and therefore it really does warp the strategy. What they've done is they've held back the really big mystery bounties and also the really big prizes until the final table. And I think that's an absolutely brilliant idea because a lot of the problem sometimes with mystery bounties is as soon as the big bounty is pulled, the sort of all the air gets sucked out of the room and nobody cares anymore. I mean, we all remember that one at the WSOP where Matt pulled out the million, effectively getting more than the winner of the tournament was going to get. And guess what? Suddenly the tournament, most of the buzz was gone. This is an innovation they've gone for where on the final table, the mystery bounties are worth about 20 times what they're worth before. So they are very, very significant. It's a great innovation. I'm surprised nobody has thought about this before. I think this will be copied in future. The one person I can give some credit to is on the Irish Poker Tour. What they do is they have two big bounties, and they do specifically hold one back for the final table to prevent this sort of buzzkill of the big bounty being pulled early on. But actually, making all the bounties on the final table big and significant is actually a very good idea. And then the final table itself is also very top heavy. There's a million for first and a quarter of a million for second. So once they get to the final table, I think if people are playing it correctly, it'll be the most frenetic, frenzied final table we've ever seen, where everybody's going to be chasing bounties because the bounties are going to be significant, and everybody's going to be playing for the win because well over half the remaining prize pool at that stage is going to the winner. So all of these things mean different stages of the tournament will play very differently. You know, the early stages will play very tight, like a satellite. The final table will play almost like a winner takes all tournament. So it should be very interesting. Anybody who is lucky enough to have qualified, definitely check out our video. It is free on the site. We were originally going to charge something for it, but in the end, we decided no, we'll just give it away for free. I've written a few pieces on it as well, one for Poker.org, one for Vegas Slots Online, just on the major points. But it is worth preparing specifically for this tournament because of the fact that it has such a unique structure.
Yeah, it sure is. Brad, any thoughts to add to that? Obviously, this tournament, almost like in terms of buzz, could eclipse the World Championship, or at least I suppose because it comes sooner, it probably will be the big thing that everyone's talking about in the first week or two. Any other thoughts on just the buzz that's been generated by this?
I think the big thing about it is just how many people are going to be playing it who have maybe never played, a live hand of poker in a casino before. So
Yeah.
that's something that I'm really excited about, that I know, there are a handful of professional poker players that have gotten golden passports and ambassadors and people like Abe Styles. And that's something that we're looking forward to seeing. It can be kind of tough to navigate through all the landmines, but there are so many dynamics to this tournament that make it really interesting and special. So it's something that I'm definitely looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely creating some poker dreams there. I want to come back to the WPT win at the end, but another much hyped event in recent weeks actually took place. It was about 2 weeks ago now, was the WWF, the Women's Winter Festival in the Hippodrome in London. This event was won by Maria Lampropoulos, proper boss, who gave a virtuoso performance, especially on the final table, as she beat Unibet Open regular Anne-Russe Callens heads up. The event was enjoyed by all, I know, as was the 50-50 tournament, half male, half female. Dara, we talked quite a bit about this event in the lead up to it. We had Kerry Jane Craigie on the show. It was sort of her baby, if you like. Credit, I know, also for this event goes to Lizzie Wilson, David Curtis, and Willie Elliott over at PokerStars. I'm interested to hear your thoughts there, Brad. Obviously, the idea of a ladies-only festival is, I don't know if it's unique, but it sounds almost unique. I'm not sure I've heard of something like it. And then that concept of having a tournament that was females. And then the other half of the field was female invited males, that people that they wanted to have in the event.
This is actually the first time that I've caught wind of this. So, I women's only festivals, that's great to provide an environment for women to feel more comfortable and just to be themselves and to play amongst each other and have a good time. I don't have any particularly deep thoughts on that. I think whatever gets women excited about poker is good for the industry in general. And then as far as a 50-50 tournament, that is something that is very unique. Never heard of that at all in my life. So they're not playing like a team though. They're just.
There was a small team component, but basically everyone was playing just for themselves, and essentially every woman who had entered the tournament got to invite a man so that it's kept that sort of 50-50 ratio. And then I think PokerStars might have added a couple of prizes for the longest lasting duos.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I love that. That's a lot of fun as well. Sorry, I wish I had more to say on this, but
No, we appreciate your
I haven't had
almost better that it's off the cuff.
I haven't had too much time to think about kind of every unique aspect of how that tournament would go if it's 50-50, how that changes anything. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I am curious though, how what was the ratio of men to women at the final table?
So the ratio with 12 left was 6 and 6, but
Oh,
actually
great.
three women bust out in 12th, 11th, and 10th. So it ended up being 6-3 in favor of the men on the final table. But in the late stages, it was looking quite close to 50-50 along the way. And a man did win the event ultimately, but there you go.
What about three-handed?
I think one woman left in the final three.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, there are so many really talented women. Obviously, everybody's always hoping that a female will make the main event final table, and I think that we're probably maybe just a few years away from that happening, if not less.
Absolutely. Well, look, speaking of great ideas and innovations, or maybe it wasn't actually. Let's talk about how it turned out first. Dara, the Dublin City University decided to invite some pros to their student game last week. On the guest list were former DCU student Fintan Hand, former Irish Open champion Steve O'Dwyer, WPT streamer Tom Murphy, and some guy called Dara O'Carney. There was a nice write-up in Poker News by our old friend Will Chilabier about what they billed as Hunters versus Pros, the event which saw 118 runners and ultimately was won by Steve O'Dwyer. He emerged victorious out of those 118 players. How did you enjoy the night, Dara? Overall, I'm guessing it was a nice occasion, and I believe you were able to give away some Unibet prizes in the process.
Yeah, it was a great occasion. I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest. I was obviously looking forward to it because the guys put a lot of trouble into organizing it and getting the four of us to agree to go along. And they did a lot of fun promotion based on the punter versus pros. And you know, there was a lot of back and forth between myself and Tomo about he reckoned I was on the wrong side. But it was unfortunately I woke up that morning sick as a dog. And I spent the first hour or so evacuating the contents of my stomach while my wife said, there's no way you're going to that tournament. And I was like, I can't back out. It's a student tournament. It's just not possible. So I was a little bit hampered by illness on the day. Probably it's probably the happiest I ever was to actually get eliminated from a tournament so that I didn't have to I was even happier when Tomo, who was my lift at home, was eliminated too, so we were able to leave. But it was a great occasion, and the students were absolutely wonderful, I have to say. It was just so refreshing to meet people who were so enthusiastic about poker and having so much fun. Very pleasantly surprised by how high the standard was too. It was way higher than the general average standard live.
Oh,
Maybe not too
wow.
surprising given that they're students, but you know, their big game is a fiver buy-in, so this was it, yeah, it was at one stage I was at a table where they were, you know, people were obviously having fun, and one guy said to me, you must despair for the future generation. But I actually thought it was really refreshing just how enthusiastic they were. And also, just this was something Tomo commented on afterwards too, just how high the standard is. The average recreational, at least in Ireland, has really the standards have risen in recent years, and that was refreshing to see. Of course, Steve O'Dwyer, being Steve O'Dwyer, completely locked in on trying to win the tournament, and he had no thoughts about early lifts home or anything like that. I will give a shout out to one of the main organizers and also a student of mine, Jack, who three-handed got in ace queen against Steve's 10-8 suited, and Steve again proved what a luck box he is by winning a pot which was basically for 70% of the chips. I mean, whoever won that pot was winning the tournament. But you know, credit to Steve, he grounded out, and he added that 100. It probably won't even pop up on the Hennie Mob, I imagine. If it does,
Very,
it'll, yeah.
very important early lesson for these guys in their burdening
Absolutely,
poker careers. Steve, like one of the biggest, winningest high rollers, are going to show up at your 5 quid game and take all your money. In fact, actually, before we give Steve too hard a time, he did donate back the winnings, I think, to the society. So fair play on that.
I think if any of us had won, we were going to donate back the winnings. So there was it was nice too. Like Unibet were very generous. They gave away tickets to everybody in the audience. In that great Irish Late Late Show tradition of everybody gets a free ticket and
Nice.
bigger tickets to the winners and at the first three actually. Not Steve O'Dwyer though; he's not getting a free Unibet ticket. And,
Yeah. Not going to
also.
honor that.
Also, the guy who knocked me out, who put me out of my misery on the day, and the and WPT Global also added some stuff, and Fintan personally added money to the pool by putting a bounty of 20 quid on me, Steve, and Tomo's heads. Now I don't know what happened to Steve's 20 quid since.
I'd say he kept that. I'd say that went in the wallet,
It
I'd
was his
say.
special money for the night.
Well, look, speaking of this type of outreach to, I suppose, just different parts of the community, Brad, you do a lot of pressing the flesh at meetup games around the US and occasionally further afield as well. Can you talk about those and if you have any coming up, and maybe also reflect back on what you think of that sort of student idea? Have you ever been to a poker night of that nature?
No, I don't think that I have been to a poker night of that nature. But yeah, I like to connect with the viewers. I don't even like to use the word fans because, you know, it kind of comes from the word fanatic, and I feel like that's almost like degrading. But I do enjoy meeting people face to face, and a lot of times people feel like they already know me, which is cool. Yeah, we've got a meetup game coming up December 17th at the Wynn. This particular meetup game, I'm not sure that I want to be there for because I believe it's on day two of the World Championship. So I think that was just the only day that we could kind of get the cash game set up at the Wynn because it's obviously very busy there. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We filled up the place before with Ivy and Doyle Brunson, and so those are a few of my absolute favorite poker memories.
Yeah, I remember that one from a few years ago. Turning now to some big news, or at least it was in my book, as of 2 weeks ago, following a meeting and a vote by the members of the International Mind Sports Association, or IMSA, poker is now an officially recognized mind sport. The game has finally joined chess, bridge, mahjong, and go as a mental sport that requires skill, strategy, and concentration. This categorization is important for poker, which exists in the overlap, I suppose, of skill game and gambling. So credit to the World Poker Federation, a transcontinental network of 49 different national poker federations, which lobbied and campaigned for this ruling. Dara, what did you make of this story? Obviously, for us poker players, it's confirmation of what we already believe about the game, but it is still an important step, right?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously know that it is a mind sport, in the sense that it's possible. It's a strategy game essentially. You can have an edge on, like, betting on roulette or anything else, despite what some people might tell you, where they might feel edges are possible, but they're not really. I guess the broader question is just like what sort of impact this has. If it obviously feels good for poker players who want this sort of recognition, but I'm not necessarily convinced that, for example, at the moment, the new gambling regulator in Ireland is going to decide how to treat poker going forward in terms of legality and taxation and all that those stuff. I'm not sure how much they're going to be convinced that some organization called IMSA, which they've never heard of, are saying that it's a mind sport. You'd like to think at the very least it can't be a negative, but how much of a positive it is, I think, does remain to be seen. Poker has there have been persistent attempts to sell poker as a mind sport down the years. PokerStars made a major push around 10 years ago, and they were particularly trying to allied with chess. And you see it to this day where, some of the chess streamers are encouraged to come into poker as well to sort of cement that thing. But I've never been convinced that it's really stuck all that much. When you talk to chess people, they definitely look down on us, and they're like, well, no, it's just a gambling game. Like, we play a pure game, a pure strategy game, and you guys are just gambling. So, and then I also think that, part of the appeal of poker is undoubtedly the gambling element. In fact, it's central to poker. Like, nobody will play Magnus Carlsen for money in chess because they know Magnus Carlsen is going to win. But people will play against Brad Owen in a meetup game because they could run well that night and they could go home and tell their friends at the very least that they beat Brad in a pot. So yeah, it's a positive, but I think maybe it's been a little bit overhyped in the poker world.
Well, after IMSA's announcement, the WPF president Igor Tryphaine released a statement. He actually said, "The World Poker Federation was built on the belief that by joining forces, we can amplify our impact and protect the game we love. We've achieved something today that is both unprecedented and definitive, and our mission now is to build the foundation that every major sport already has: standardized regulations, professional pathways, player protections, and international competitions." Brad, turning to you, this IMSA decision might seem like just a formal rubber stamping for people working on both the live and online products. I think it will provide, though, some potential growth opportunities as the perception of poker is improved. For example, the government on your side of the pond and the regulators, I suppose, on ours have suffocated poker to quite an extent, the poker market over the past decade or so. With this ruling, it certainly seems easier to imagine better cooperation between perhaps governments, operators, national federations, regulatory bodies in different territories all around the globe.
Sure, I'm curious to know, what the legal ramifications could be, if it is recognized more widely with our government and everything, that poker is a skill game. But for now, I don't see this changing a ton, other than I get in a lot of conversations with Uber drivers about poker being more like chess than blackjack, and now I can reference this.
Well, my big emphasis with my partner was to explain to her that like I've been saying year after year, I am a sports person, which she was having none of, frankly. Dara, you were an actual sports person, so can you speak to the comparisons between my claim of sportiness and yours?
Yeah, well, I've always accepted that we are sports players of a certain type. Like, I mean, we're closer to darts players maybe than the type of sports I did before, which was the pure sport of running. But you know, there are a lot of the same things. How professionally you approach competition, getting in shape, at least mentally for competition, being in good physical shape helps as well. All of these things are important. So it's good at least to have that reaffirmed. I would point out too, before we move on from this, that it's possible there might be some negative effects of this too. Like, for example, you know, here in Ireland, poker is regarded as gambling for taxation purposes and therefore untaxed. So poker players in Ireland pay no tax on winnings because the thinking is, well, if we charge guys who win, then we would have to allow guys who lose to write their losses off, and there's more losing players than there are winning players. So the taxation authorities have always stayed away from this. But if we beat the drum too much about, oh, it's a skill game and we're all winning because of our skill, they might go, okay, well then you're like tradesmen, so we get to tax you.
Okay, I changed my mind. Not a sports person. Clearly, we're just degenerates in our hoodies, in our pants, pressing buttons online. No, we don't want any of that, right, Brad?
You're right. I mean, I get taxed either way.
That's true, actually. Yeah, just actually, I maybe it's sort of uncouth to talk about kind of a tax conversation, but have you ever given thought to changing country or leaving or traveling more to avoid some of it? Like, it is pretty egregious to be taxed 30% or whatever it is on your winnings every year. We've always looked at, the model in Scandinavia, for example, here in Europe, where it's kind of the same as yours, and thought it just makes the game almost unfeasible.
Yeah, not everybody knows this about me, but in between professional poker stints, I became a certified public accountant, which is, I think, the equivalent of like a chartered accountant in a lot of other countries. Although I know very little about tax, I did have to study it years ago. For me, it's not really a consideration of moving countries. It's just not as easy to do that. For Americans, I don't think, as it is to kind of move around Europe and some other countries. And, you know, I have two stepdaughters that are in the school system here, and they have a close relationship with their dad. And so family life is something that's important to me, and tax implications aren't something that you know, are a big enough deal for me to move out of the country for.
Fair play, fair play. Well, look, I said we'd get back to the WPT World Championship last year. Main event there had a 40 million guarantee. Obviously, famously fell slightly short of that number. No guarantee this time, but perhaps, like the WSOP or some of the other WPT events, it doesn't really need one. Even with some competition, obviously, in Europe from the Stars event in Prague and the Bahamas, it's an established tournament now, and it's probably going to get a prize pool of like 35 million-ish, right, Brad?
I would love to see it get to 35 million. I do think it deters some people from coming with no $40 million guarantee. But what I am proud of with the WPT is that we've really pushed the envelope with the $15 million guarantee. The first year was the largest ever guarantee in poker history. And then to come back and almost 3x it the next year, even though we did fall short by, I think, 1.8 or 2 million, so somewhere in that range, that was just a huge accomplishment to do something in December, to get that many entries and to be at the win, which, in my opinion, you know, you can't really, you just can't beat the win. So I do hope that numbers continue to go up, but there are other tournament stops now that are kind of upping the competition. So a lot of top players are spread out across different tournament stops, which I do think should make this December at the Wynn maybe the best opportunity to get some big scores that, you know, I personally have ever had.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the effect could be that the tournament ends up being the softest version of itself it's ever been. You mentioned the Wynn there, of course. You're absolutely right. Like, I just don't know anywhere else I'd rather play poker, frankly. Dara, we've attended this event the past 2 years. We actually had a Unibet event in the Wynn a few years previously. Your old partner in crime, Andrew Neamey, Brad, he actually won a celebrity sort of sit and go at that festival. That was my first taste of the win, actually, and so happy to always go back to it. Darragh, we've said how this is one of our favorite stops, maybe even our favorite these days. We're going there a little longer than other years. I think we're going to be there for maybe 11 days this time. Going to get there just in time to play the prime, which is great. You've racked up the caches this year. I think you may have tweeted recently you're up to 35, maybe 36 caches total. So seems like 40, nice round number of 40, is within reach. Are you looking forward to your last poker away trip of the year?
Very much so. I had a frank discussion with my wife recently about the amount of traveling I've done this year. Because every year I start by telling her, "Oh, I'll travel less this year," and unless there's a pandemic, that's always been a lie. I was actually supposed to go to the Women's Festival to play that 50-50 event we talked about, and
Me too.
just the idea of telling my wife, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to London to a Women's Festival," that was that. Particularly difficult sell. So, but yeah, the win is unmissable for me. I do tell people it's my favorite stop outside of Ireland every year since I've gone over there. Prefer it infinitely to the WSOP, I have to say. WSOP is a sort of a must attend for other reasons, but it always feels like a bit of an unpleasant grind. Whereas this is yeah, just very, very different atmosphere around the WPT. Every Irish person I know who's gone to it says similar things. Nobody has had a negative experience or anything bad to say about it. The organization is amazing. The team of Matt Savages who run around the place, popping up everywhere we go, keeps the whole thing flowing very nicely. And we get to see a lot of people as well that we interact with during the year but don't see in person because of where we live. And yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. It won't even be my last stop because shortly after I get home, I'm playing the final Irish Poker Tour stop of the year in Greenisle. And then straight from that almost into the first stop of the year over in Galway, which is always one of my favorite stops of the year as well. But yeah, the WPT is a definite highlight every year.
Yeah, and worth noting as well, obviously we've been there since the first year of this one, and always give it glowing reviews because it deserves them. And it's fair to say a lot of Irish making the journey now this year. We've a good pal Turlock, former guest on this show, who has gone as far as to say, if I could only do World Series or WPT, it wouldn't even be close. And in fact, I think he was a man of his word, didn't do World Series this year, but is going to the WPT. Our really good friend Annette O'Carroll, famous for maybe our best ever interview all the way back in the 100th show. She's attending this year as well. And I know lots and lots of Irish have qualified. So there's a real buzz around this one. I do have one more question for Brad, but before I ask him, I have to keep the lights on. I want to tell people about the Unibet DeepStack Open satellites that have moved to Sunday nights, where there's a 250 buy-in to the 1500 euro packages. We're guaranteeing two. They're usually getting three. I think before long they'll get more than that. And there's also a separate 50 euro seat qualifier to a 550 seat about an hour later. I spoke with Alex Henry, head honcho of the Unibet DSO, who told me that he's working on a couple more stops outside of France for next year. So keep an eye on that one. He told me I couldn't confirm any of them yet. So fair play. That'll be at a future date. What I can say, though, is there's an event in Barcelona, Darragh, a favorite spot of yours and mine, a spring stop in Malta, and that Marrakesh and San Remo are both back on the schedule in roughly their same slots again. I think he's working on a Portugal stop too, but now I've probably already said too much, so I'll say no more. Watch that space for more details. And remember, you can win those packages right away now because they're winner's choice and you can just hold them and then, use them when a stop comes up that you like the look of, any destination you want. Brad, finally, I noticed another tweet of yours this past week. You actually alluded to it sort of there a few moments ago. It was a memory of a cash game you played with Doyle, Phil Hellmuth, and Phil Ivey. You said it how it was the kind of dream lineup you never could have imagined you'd be in when you first started playing poker. Doyle obviously passed away about 18 months ago, but his legend very, very much lives on. He was, of course, a WPT ambassador too, right at the end. Can you speak to what it meant to get to know him a little bit and what you feel like his legacy will be?
Sure. I I wish I got to know him more, to be honest. I did play two televised cash game sessions with him. One was my first ever televised cash game session. That was maybe May of 2022, shortly after I had signed with WPT. And to just be on the same team as Doyle Brunson and Phil Ivey, as somebody who I made a name for myself playing 2-5 and filming it and making stupid jokes and putting it on YouTube.
And making legendary music videos too, don't forget that.
Correct. Yes, with cat raps. Yes, but to be able to compete with people that I've looked up to, I mean, it really was a dream come true to play with Ivy, Hellmuth, and Doyle in a six-handed lineup with three of the greatest poker players of all time, like certainly on the Mount Rushmore, and you could maybe throw Negreanu in there as well. I think there were yeah, close to 40 bracelets basically at that table. And his legacy is just such a massive pioneer of the sport, I guess I will call it, or of the game. Just The Godfather of Poker is one of my absolute favorite books, just reading about his life. And there's almost no poker strategy in there, as I recall, but just that gambling life and really kind of transitioning it from this like old Western type feel where everything's kind of shady and people are kind of hustling and cheating each other, to help bring it into this more mainstream ESPN, major network television game that we all love and enjoy, and being, having a stand-up reputation, being a stellar player, and being willing to share his biggest secrets of the game, obviously with Super System, despite having like a massive edge over everybody else at that time, and being willing to give that up to grow the game, essentially.
Well, look, on that extremely fitting note, Bradon, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you next week at the Wynn. If we don't make day two, we will try and get into your meetup game. We'd be love to hang out there.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. You guys are so much fun to talk to, and I love doing this podcast. So thanks a lot.
Oh no, we appreciate you stopping by. And Dara, thank you as usual.
Thank you, David. And we don't do this often enough, but anybody who's watching us maybe for the first time, don't forget to click like and subscribe. And I will also note, Justin, with my completely OCD brain, all three of us have something in our background in common. See if you can guess what it is, David.
Is it the competition for our viewers, or am I
Maybe
supposed
we'll
to?
make it a competition for the viewers. Yeah. We'll announce the
I see what it
competition.
is.
I think Brad has spotted us.
Oh, is this to do with the GPI awards?
Yeah, we all have a GPI award in the background.
Do we all have one? Is
Looks like it's
this
all
how
from the
it is
same
going
year as
to
well. It's from the same year too, I believe.
We're shameless. On that
Yeah.
note, well, look, to how many have you, Brad?
I have two.
We have two
Okay.
as well. So look, to one of us getting to three next year. Thanks a million, guys. Take care.
Thank you.